loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and they were filled, and he took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you for your goodness to us, your love to us. Father, as we think on this thought of reaching the multitude, Father, it seems like an overwhelming task that you have given the church to do. But Father, if you have commanded us to do it, Father, you're going to provide for us. So Lord, as we look at this passage and look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, Father, you might help us understand that it is not an impossible task. And Father, we'll be busy accomplishing these things for your honor and for your glory. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. I want to look at verse number 19 just one more time. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, notice these key words coming up. He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. As we look at these 3 thoughts this evening, blessed, break, and gave, it will give us an example of how that you and I can accomplish this task that God has ordained for us to do. Notice, first of all, that word blessed. That word blessed comes from a Greek word that means happy. And it means, we could say it this way, it simply means to speak favorably, to give thanks, to give praise. We use it when we speak a prayer before we have our evening meal, and thanking the Lord for his provision that he's provided for us and asking him to bless it. Let me just say this, Miss Sarah. I heard from my sister-in-law that one of her grandson is in our day school and is a really nice, really, really cool little guy. Not because he's my nephew, but he just really is. And he went home, and I don't know if it was their practice or not their practice of his home to pray. But when the mom brought the meal into him, he put his hands just like this, and we teach them to fold their hands like this, and then he started mumbling. And his dad said, "Well, wait a minute, son, we'll pray together." He's like, "Hard done, he's eating, amen." Listen, praise God for that. Listen, he was saying, "Thank God, I want to praise God for providing this meal, my mom giving it to me, amen." What an influence Sharon Baptist Day School is having upon families in our communities today that do not attend our church. And so that's exactly what we see here in our text this evening, that Jesus blessed the bread and he blessed the fish. I believe it includes the acknowledgement as well of the gift and the giver. Oftentimes we hear men, when they pray over the offering, they hear this: "Dear God, bless the gift and the giver." There's nothing wrong with saying that. That's a true statement. But I think here the Lord is really giving acknowledgement that we ought to acknowledge the gift as well as the giver of that gift. And this is a great example for each and every one of us here today at Sharon Baptist Church, that we ought to speak favorably, not only before our meals, but at all times in our life. I like what James says in chapter 3 and verse 10. "Out of the same mouth proceed as blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be." And too many days we find that our people, our acquaintances and friends and family members, are not willing to come and sit in a service. And they sometimes use this as an excuse. They say, "Oh, there's too many hypocrites there." I heard that one time, and I said, "Well, come on, one more is not going to hurt, amen. Join the crowd, amen." The truth of the matter is simply this, is that we are those hypocrites oftentimes. We bless and curse out of the same mouth, and Jesus said those things ought not to be. The word simply means to speak favorably. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, Paul says this: "Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying," or lifting up, or exalting, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And so, my friend, we understand this, is that the words that we speak ought to be ones that uplift. We find out that Jesus blessed here in this passage that which was given. You say, "Well, why did he bless it?" And, well, not because of the amount, because there wasn't really much there for him to bless, but because of the heart attitude. In John 6 and verse 9, in a parallel passage, the Bible says this: "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" So it wasn't like the Lord was giving thanks for the gift and the giver for the amount, but he was blessing God, asking God to bless him because of the heart attitude of that young lad that gave it. You see, Jesus blessed the gift because it was all that little boy had to give that day, as far as we know, that he gave all that he had to the Lord. And we see this repeated throughout the scriptures, where the Lord Jesus Christ looks on the attitude of our heart and not the amount of the gift that's given. And when we give, we'll have what we have and we give it to the Lord, guess what? He will bless it. He promises to do that as well. It will cause everyone to be amazed, and God will receive all the honor and glory. So no doubt that inner circle, as they saw him bring those two small fishes and those five barley loaves, perhaps others around saw that, and I thought, I put myself in those are on the hillside that day, and I was thinking, if I saw this lad give this to Jesus, I would think to myself, I hope I'm first in line, because it doesn't seem like there's very much to go around. But then Jesus blessed that, and he blessed not the amount, but he blessed the attitude of the young lad that gave that. And because of that young man's willingness to give, we find that all were amazed, and God will receive the honor and glory. You see, the disciples couldn't accomplish this task without the Lord's blessing, and neither can we. We can't reach the multitude in our own flesh without God's blessings upon us. Well, we see this thirdly, we need God's blessings upon us. We need God's blessing upon us as individuals. I need God's blessing upon my life. My families need God's blessing upon their lives. And guess what? Sharon Baptist Church needs God's blessing upon the life in this community of Sharon Baptist Church. But understand, if it's going to come to me individually, if it's going to come to my family and your family, if it's going to come to Sharon Baptist Church, we must be willing to offer ourselves to him totally with no strings attached. That is the key. That young lad gave what he had, all that he had, and the Lord took it and he blessed it, not for the amount, but for the attitude of that young boy. Well, we'll not reach the world if our gift is not blessed of God. But then notice something else, secondly, tonight. This gift must be broken. This gift must be broken. You see, Jesus broke that which was offered to him that day. The principle was this: before it could be used of God, it had to be broken. The same principle is in our lives as well. Before we can really be used of God, God's going to have to break us down to the point where we surrender ourselves and our things totally to him. And this principle is the reality in our Christian walk and in our Christian life. When we talk about becoming closer to the Lord, it's just empty words. When we say, in 2021, I'm going to draw closer to the Lord. I want to be more like the Lord. And those words are just empty and they're useless unless we fall down broken before him with a broken and a contrite heart. You see, it isn't about us. It's all about him. It's not what we want. It's what he wants for us. In Luke 9:23, we find these words. This is Jesus speaking. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Recently had a conversation with someone, and they basically said this: this is what I wanted to do, and I wanted this, and I wanted the plaudits, and I wanted the world to say, well, good job for doing that. He said, I began to understand it's not what I want, it's what God wants me to do. And if I never get credit and plaudits from the world, that's fine with me. I just want to do what God would have me to do. I'm telling you, there is a person who's learning very early on in their life to deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow him. I think of the Apostle Paul. He said this. He said, I die daily. That's what you and I have to do if we're gonna be broken and be used of God. Every day we get up, we're going to have to say, okay, God, you know what happened yesterday? I didn't intend to do it. I didn't plan on doing it. But listen, that happened in our life. And God, I asked you to forgive me for that in my life. And this is a new day, God. And I'm going to die daily to myself today. I'm going to surrender it all to you today. I'm going to give it this day to you. So, God, I want you to use me for your honor and for your glory. As we think about these two verses, this verse really isn't about salvation. It's speaking about our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is Jesus Christ taking us and making us a new creation. We might even say this, that he's regenerating us with his life. But a surrendered life is Jesus Christ pouring his life into you and I, who's willing to empty ourselves, become a worthy vessel to be used of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus broke what was offered. But then notice, secondly, Jesus was broken for you and I. You see, he instructed his disciples on a number of different occasions. In John chapter 12 and verse 32 and 33, he said this, "And if I be lifted up from the earth and will draw all men unto myself, unto me." This he said, signifying what death that he might die. And then in Luke 9 and verse 22, a parallel passage, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." You see, Jesus was broken for you and I. He also illustrated this truth as he gathered together with his disciples at the Last Supper in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 24. "And when he had given thanks," the Bible said, "he broke it and said, 'Take heed. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" You see, Jesus Christ was broken for you and I. So the lingering question, I believe, that resounds for you and I is simply this: am I willing to be broken for him? Jesus was broken for us, but am I willing to be broken for him? Am I willing to be used of God to reach the multitudes with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, we have to be broken of our selfish goals and our selfish purposes and be totally surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we'll not reach the world if our gift is not broken, or if the gift is not blessed. Then notice lastly, and then we'll be done. We'll not reach the world if our gift is not given. If our gift is not given. See, this is really the exciting part, number one. This is the exciting part. You see, Jesus Christ just did not bless the loaves and the fishes, didn't just break it. We find this, that he just didn't do that and give it out to the multitudes. As a matter of fact, he did something else. He chose to use the disciples to distribute the food to those who have need. You see, Jesus could even did a greater miracle. He could have blessed it, and then he could have just had it showed up just enough for everybody wherever they sat, and would have took a lot less time. There's no doubt. 5,000 plus women and children. How long do you think it took those 12 disciples to serve all that running? I'm not sure how it worked out. I personally believe that they had those baskets, and they had 12 baskets, and they had a basket of fish and a basket of bread, and I think they just kept giving it out when they showed up at your place and just kept staying full. I can't prove that from the Word of God, but I believe that's why there's 12 baskets left over, amen. 12 full baskets, because the baskets never emptied. Jesus could have did any number of ways, but he decided to use his disciples to distribute the blessing after he prayed for those fishes and the loaves. Listen, what a privilege it was, no doubt, for those disciples. I think, you know what, after the first basket, if that really, truly is the way it took place, they handed out a couple fishes, handed out a couple loaves of bread. No doubt they looked down and they just had the same amount as they did before. They went to the next person, the same thing. I mean, I think as they went through the crowd, they began possibly to shout and give God glory and honor for this wonderful, miraculous thing. Think how blessed they would have felt and how privileged they must have been to be used of God in such a great and miraculous way. They took what they had received of the Lord and they gave it to those who are hungry. Can you see the parallel here this evening? That was God. That was God's plan for feeding the 5,000. And listen, it's still his plan for reaching the multitudes with the gospel. You see, we have to give what God has given us. You see, he blessed it and he was broken for you and I. And he could send a multitude of angels and do a better job to preach the gospel, to win people to Christ. But he's chosen you and I. No doubt, think about what a privilege we have to take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. In Titus 2 and verse 2, "And these things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We find Paul being the spiritual mentor of Titus, and he's saying, listen, what you've been taught, you have a responsibility to commit it to other people as well. Teach them as you have been taught. What a privilege they had. What a privilege Paul was telling Titus. What a privilege that you and I have as we take what we have been given. Christ broken for us that we might be made whole. See, the disciples could not give until they had received. You know what? They could have just stood there all day, but until the Lord gave them the baskets, it wouldn't have really done them any good. The same thing is true for you and I tonight. Before we can give to others, you and I must have received from God as well. And this applies to everything that we do for the Lord, in our finances, in our service. It doesn't matter what it is. Understand this evening that we cannot be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ if we don't know Him personally. We can't teach what we haven't learned. We can't share what we have not received. We cannot give our grace-giving promises until God provides it for us to give. What a privilege we have to share with the multitudes what we have received by God's marvelous grace. That word grace is a wonderful word. And I can't help but think about Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You see, that young lad, that young boy, freely gave all that he had. He gave it all to the Lord Jesus that he might bless it. And it was broken by Jesus. And that gift then was redistributed to those who needed it the very most. There was also a special blessing for those who were involved in this process. In Mark 14 and verse 20, it says this, and they did all eat and were filled, and he took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. I don't know what happened to those 12 baskets, but I know how it happens at our fellowship. The ladies that do all that hard work oftentimes get to take the spoils home with them, amen? Praise the Lord. I don't know if the disciples got to take home a basket or a couple fishes. I don't know. But I do know this, that the Lord blessed them for their work. What a privilege we have to share with the multitudes this idea of Christ dying for us and rising again from the grave. And we have this wonderful privilege. So, again, the question tonight is, how will we reach the multitude? Well, number one, we must first give ourselves to the Lord. We must be willing to be broken for Him as the Lord broke that meal. And then be used to give the gospel to those that are hungering to hear the gospel. You know, God always has a person. I've always said that. And God always has a man. He always has a lady already ready. God already has people hungering for the word of God. But our problem is that we're stiff-necked and we're hard-hearted. And because of our fleshly living and our carnal desires, that we're not willing to be obedient to God or willing to be in a place where God could use us to go witness to someone. God always has someone on a hook, so to speak, amen. And we ought to understand that our responsibility is to be that fisherman for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what is your need this evening? Perhaps you've never received this wonderful gift of God's grace of salvation that's available by grace through faith in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And you can come this evening and put your faith and trust in Him. But maybe you're here as a born-again believer of God. You say, Pastor, I am a child of God. There is no doubt about that. I have trusted in Him. But maybe you resisted God's will in your life. It don't have to be about finances. It could be about your occupation. It could be about your physical location, where you're at. It could be about ministry God has placed upon your heart. And if you tried going about your own way rather than submitting and following Him, tonight you can come to Him and you can surrender to His perfect will for your life. And then lastly, are you actively involved in reaching the multitude? Now, I know because of COVID that we have dampened down a little bit on door-to-door visitation and things like that. But listen, we're opening back up very slowly. This November the 7th, Saturday at 1 o'clock, you have an opportunity. Listen, you can put your gloves on and grab some door hangers, and you can put them on the door, amen. Listen, we want to get you back into this routine of beginning again this idea of soul winning, visiting, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So are you actively involved in reaching the multitude, not only in our community, but also in the regions beyond? So choose today, choose tonight to obey the Lord's command. Remember, he blessed, it was broke, and then it was given out. And the disciples had a great joy and a great responsibility to give out what God had given them. And the same is true for you and I today. Those three words, blessed and broken and given, are small little words, but hold such great meaning to us as we enter into our 2020 Grace Giving Missions Conference. Would you be obedient to the Lord in this area? Father, we come before you.